Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. We're here with the president of Ask a Muslim. Because if you have any doubts, you have any concerns, any fears, you should ask the Muslims. And I'm here with Dr. Marwan. Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
You guys have doing, you're doing some great work, and you produce some of these videos that are asking some tough questions and also clearing up the misconceptions. There's one video that you have talking about salvation, right? Yeah. And everybody at the end, smart people, they realize we're going to die. We're going to leave this life. What's the purpose of life? And now the concept of salvation in Islam is pretty clear. In other religions, it might not be so clear. What is, you know, this concept that's so strong compared in contrast to what's out there being propagated in other faiths?
In Islam, they have not propagated any new concept of salvation. It's pretty much the concept of salvation that God have ordained to all of his prophets in the past and through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in which that there is a direct relationship between the servant and the creator. And there's no intermediary between them. If you want to ask for forgiveness, then you ask the creator. You ask the creator for forgiveness. And God is most merciful, most gracious. He's all powerful. He could forgive if you ask for forgiveness. And that's the basic concept of salvation in Islam.
I mean, that's straightforward. It didn't take much explaining. The one who created you, you ask him to guide you. Him, if you make a mistake, is the one that you turn to forgive your mistakes. No intermediaries. But if someone says, look, no, you Muslims, you got it wrong. God, he sent his only begotten son to die for your sins. And if you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins, he was the sacrificial lamb, you're going to hellfire. We respect that. You got to respect someone loves you, they're bringing this to you, but we can kindly object. And how would you go ahead and answer this?
Well, there is a simple concept in Islam in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وَزِرَ أُخْرَى, that no one can bear the sins of another person. You know, that's the basic concept in which that I cannot carry the sin of somebody else. You know, I'm only going to be responsible for my own sin. You know, this is something, again, Islam did not really invent this. This is something that you even going to see in the Old Testament. For instance, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the chapter of 16:6, you know, it talks about that the son cannot carry the sins of the father. And the father does not carry the sins of the son. So this is something that is pretty much the same exact verse almost that is being, that we could open the Old Testament and we could see that, in which, you know, there is nothing in you, you know. Anybody could look at it, Deuteronomy 24:4, go look it up. It's the same exact thing. And, you know, so therefore, if I am sinning, you know, I am the weak person, I have did something against what God have asked me to do. Why should I ask to go through some other loopholes for me to gain salvation? If I am weak, I go to the most powerful. If, you know, I go to the one who's all hearing, who could answer my calls 24/7. You know, so this is the basic salvation in Islam. Now, if you open the Webster dictionary now and you see what is the characteristics of God, you know, God is perfect, you know, God is all powerful, and anything beyond that, it takes away from the character of God, you know. So therefore, if God, you know, we say sacrifice, you know, the act of sacrifice, you know, is meaning when you look at the word sacrifice in the Webster dictionary, meaning somebody have given something for something else in return. So the question that we ask ourselves, does God need to give up something in return of something else? No. I mean, this is anybody, whether you, no matter what religious background you come from, you know, if you would deny this such of character to God. Even before that, who need to sacrifice for who? I mean, this is the question that we ask our fellow human beings. Who need to sacrifice for who? Human beings, should be sacrificing to God. You know, I am blessed for all the blessings that God have given me. You know, I am blessed that God has given me eyes and he has given me a brain. He has given me senses. So therefore, you know, for me to appreciate what God have given me, I have to sacrifice to God to get his pleasure. But you know, God does not need to do the other way around, in which that he is sacrificing for me. You see what I'm saying? And so, and this is the concept of the basic concept of, you know, of sacrifice, you know, in Islam.
What if someone says, look, in the old days, they used to sacrifice animals.
Beautiful.
For God, but now that's abrogated. And when Jesus came and he sacrificed himself, actually, it gets confusing because, okay, the people say Jesus is God, so God sacrificed himself, basically like committed suicide, if you would say, right? How would you answer this?
Yeah, this is a very easy question. Now, if for me, indeed, one of the ways to get closer to God is sacrifice. And by the way, who does most of the sacrifice nowadays worldwide toward God? Muslims. We sacrifice in the time of pilgrimage once a year in order for us to be closer to God. But the question is that the only way of salvation toward God? You know, that's and even that even mentioned in the Bible, in which that in the book of Hosea 6:6, God says, I'm a God of mercy rather than sacrifice. So if you want to get closer to God, he rather to forgive you rather for you to sacrifice for him. So therefore, God he wants to forgive you. If you ask for his forgiveness, he won't forgive you. But he does not, for each and every action, you know, for you to sacrifice, we should be, at the end of the day, obeying what God have asked us to do, you know. And even when we sacrifice something, what is God going to gain from it, you know? You know, God Almighty says in the Quran, لَيَّنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومَهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِ يَنَالَهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. You know, there is a God, when we sacrifice animals, what is God is going to gain? Is he, I mean, God says he will not, you know, the meat is not going to reach God, nor the blood is going to reach God. But what is going to reach God is our fear of God, our the self-righteousness that, you know, the how much we fear God. That's what's going to, you know, that's what God is going to take from us, you know. So, us sacrificing things, it's indeed one form, but we should not put all everything. The only way toward God is through sacrifice. And what, for God to sacrifice his own son, who is also considered God? I mean, it seems to us it's a kind of contradictions.
So it's through piety, through righteousness, through humbleness, to doing these things that God told us to do, obeying him and seeking his pleasure, doing the good deeds that he's told us. He don't need it. We need it. This shows our faith in action. And it makes sense. Then you make a mistake and you turn to God alone. You don't need anybody. Nor did Jesus. Have you found anywhere where Jesus said explicitly, listen, or Moses or those that came before him saying that, listen, Jesus is coming. God is coming in the form of a man. And then when Jesus came, he should have made this clear that, look, you have to believe that I sacrificed my life for you. Because this is salvation, this is your eternity, paradise, hellfire. Do we find that happening? The previous prophets mentioning Jesus coming, that God is coming as a human being, or Jesus himself saying, look, I, for you to gain eternal paradise, you have to believe that I died for your sins.
That was never mentioned, and actually it was the opposite. Throughout the Old Testament, and we as Muslims, we believe in the Bible, the original Bible, the Gospels, you know. We believe in the original preaching of Moses. We believe the original preaching of Jesus, peace be upon him. And so we have the right to read the scriptures and see what goes along our belief and what contradicts our belief. So therefore, if you look at the Old Testament, you will not see the concept of salvation through a sacrifice of one man does not even exist. It's nothing, you know. Yes, one of the ways, for instance, you will see, Abraham try to sacrifice his son. That's fine, but that's not the only way toward getting salvation. But in the New Testament, even in the New Testament, actually, the quite opposite. I mean, even when God wanted to, according to the book of Matthew, when Jesus was about to be put on a cross, he was not even willing to be crucified. And according to the book of Matthew, he said, you know, Lord, Lord, why you have forsaken me? So he was not even willing, you know, Rabbi, Rabbi, lima sabaqtani, and that's the way it sounds in Aramaic, you know. So he was telling God, why are you doing this to me? Don't let this cup pass. In another verse, you know. So he was not really willing to be sacrificed, and, you know, and that actually goes along with what the Christian, what Muslim think have happened to Jesus, in which that the people wanted to kill Jesus, and God has, you know, and God, Jesus had pleaded to God to be saved, and God has saved Jesus, peace be upon him.
Mm. And that's amazing when you look into it, that Islam makes it clear, and you mentioned the previous books, what was given to Moses in its original, the Torah, we accept, we believe. What was given to Jesus, the NGO, in its original, we believe. But these books have been changed, they've been altered. You guys have a bumper sticker that says the Quran never changed, never altered, so people can find these facts, not fiction, in first part, not third party. God is speaking direct in the Quran, compiled over 23 years, like no other book. Can you speak about it unchanged, unaltered?
And this is what one of the miracles of the Quran is, that it was preserved since day one. God has said, you know, that in the Quran, that this book was not preserved on books. It was preserved within the chest of men. That, you know, you'll see millions of people who have memorized the book from cover to cover, every single letter, even the way it sounds, you know, how much we elongate some of the letters. It's miracle in itself how the Quran was preserved until nowadays. You're not going to see two different copies. If you go all the way from Indonesia all the way to Morocco, you're going to see one version of the Quran.
That's amazing. And if you have any other questions, you can go ahead and ask a Muslim. You guys have a telephone number set up and the website?
You go to our website, on which we have, it's askamuslim.com. At the bottom of the page, we have live chat. If you have any questions, just go in there, and somebody's going to be answering your questions.
Any fears, any misconceptions, come to the Muslims. And a Muslim is simply one who has chosen to submit to the Creator alone, just like Jesus did. He was a Muslim. You guys actually did a billboard that said Jesus is a Muslim.
Yes, we did. This is one of our famous billboards was when we started this organization. And this is, again, we're not trying to insult anybody, but this is part of our core belief, in which that we believe that Jesus submitted himself to the will of God. And that's what the word Muslim is, just like all the rest of the prophets, Moses, Abraham, Noah, Ishmael, Joseph, all of them have submitted themselves to the will of God, and that's what we believe as Muslims. And if you look at nowadays, there is no one who tried to be like Jesus more than the Muslims. If you look, go outside, who dress like the mother of Jesus? Muslims. Who have beards like Jesus? Muslims. Who pray like Jesus? Muslims. Who believed in Jesus? You know, or they even dressed like him. You know, a one piece type of clothing. You know, Muslims. So the thing is, we are trying to follow his steps because we love him. He's very close to our hearts.
That's deep. I mean, it just makes sense. It makes sense. Don't get spooked now by the Arabic. Jesus spoke Aramaic. You follow me? It was a Semitic language. But in English, when it's defined to you, it just makes sense. All the messengers of God, they submitted not to Jesus or to the creation, but to the Creator. And that's what a Muslim is. If you have any questions, ask a Muslim. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.